Amen. Let's welcome Pastor Mark Presley up.
All right.
Amen. You're on.
All right. Well, I remember Pastor Gail Irwin said, if you have more than one person in your fellowship, it's more than you deserve. So I didn't think anything of it. You know, I didn't really think anything of it. As long as we got two or more, what a blessing. What a blessing. I remember going to, I speak Spanish, I'm bilingual, I'm half Mexicano. And by the way, how many love God's food this morning? How many believe that Mexican food is God's food? How many know there's a scripture to prove it? He gave the Hebrews manna. And we all know that manna was Mexican food. Come on. So, anyways, I went with Pastor Chuck to Mexicali. We flew to, back when I was an assistant pastor in my 20s, flew to Mexicali. We had this huge conference planned out. It was going to be a big thing. We get there, and there's four people in the front row. And one of the ladies was sleeping. And Pastor Chuck did the whole thing as if there was 20,000 people. And I'll never forget that. Never forget that. I counted today, all of us, including the little young lady, there's 12 of us. Jesus had 12, and one was you-know-who-what. And so it doesn't matter, guys. As long as there's two or more, we praise the Lord and we thank the Lord. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray at this moment that it would open up your word, that you'd fill us with your spirit. Thank you for what you've already done. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for any type of complaining or whining or... God, you're the one that gets all the glory for everything, and we thank you for what you're going to do even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the passage the Lord put on my heart was in Philippians chapter 4. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 3. I want Jesus and all the life he has for me. One of the things that Paul said is to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we call that a win-win, don't we? To live is Christ and to die is gain. And, you know, the idea that we have a passion, that we have a pursuit of God, that we are pressing, as Paul will use the word press in this passage, pressing into the Spirit. You know, I love what David said in Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul follows hard after you. Follows hard. It's literally like persecuting, going for it. What's the opposite of following hard after the Lord? It's those two teenage kids on the corner. They're going to cross the street, and they're dragging their feet, and they're looking at their phones, texting. And you want to make that turn. You're like, you're going so slow. It's passivity. It's apathy. It's the sleepy, nappy attitude. It's the one where, you know, every one of us that had teenagers know what it's like to want to almost choke your kid when you're trying to get them to do something, and they look at you. And they do that, right? The shrugging of the shoulders. And then the only one that's worse than that is the eye roll. Oh, my gosh, you want to... And, you know, to have passivity and apathy to the things of the Lord. King Herod, a wicked king, is being caught up by those magi that are coming to him that said, hey, we heard that Jesus, and we saw the star. And so what does King Herod do? He consults the religious elite of the day and say, hey, I heard that Jesus is supposed to be born. Where's Christ supposed to be born again? And these guys should have been thinking, wow, you think maybe after 400 years of silence that the Lord is showing up? Oh my gosh, this could be it. And they go, Micah 5:2, oh, you little town of Bethlehem, though you're the smallest amongst the thousands of the little towns, out of you will come forth a ruler who's everlasting to everlasting. He's over there in Bethlehem. And then they just continued, you know, quilting it, whatever they were doing on the Temple Mount. It's like, what happened? What apathy is that? If you think the Messiah is there, wouldn't you be running? You know, Romans 12:11 says, and I give you various translations of it, we're not to be lagging in diligence. We're not to be lacking in zeal. We're to be fervent in the Spirit, enthusiastic in the Spirit. And I like the Revised Standard Version. It says, aglow in the Spirit. You know, just on fire like a hot spark plug. You remember as a kid when you thought you were cool changing the spark plug and we all burned our fingers for the first time. It's hot, man. God wants us to be on fire for Him and the things of the Lord. Or is that one great theologian I always love to quote when the Klingons were chasing the, you know, that ship with Captain Kirk, and he's saying, Scotty, you gotta give us warp drive 8. And what would Scotty say? I'm giving it all she's got. And he's not a theologian, of course, but that's the type of life God wants us to have. Paul said in the previous chapter 2, verse 17, I am poured out like a drink offering. Not like little dribbles like you did with your salsa today, but I mean taking that bucket and just pouring it on. Boy, and there's so many examples of believers pouring it on. As the word persevere really caught my ear, because it was one that I was going to be thinking of today, that woman that had the poor plumbing problems of women for 12 years, and she breaks through the crowd, and I just touched the hem of his garment. She broke on through. Or how about those guys when the house was full, they wanted to bring their quadriplegic friend in front of Jesus, they saw the crowd, and forget it, it's too crowded. So they break through the ceiling. You know, as we get older, we think of how insane that would be if it was your house. Break through the ceiling, and Jesus says, I saw their faith. He sees their faith. And just so many others where they didn't just kick back, but they pressed. They pressed on. And Paul in this passage says, we're pressing on toward a goal. There's a goal that we're reaching, and the terminology is a runner's type of terminology, that you're pressing, that word to strain your neck. We've seen the pictures a million times where they do the photo finish, right? And the guy that sticks his neck out a foot and he wins by a nose, he's like, he's pressing, he's going all the way forward. Just prior to the verse we're reading in chapter 12, Paul was saying, you know, you guys, we've established the fact that we're righteous by faith. I'm not having any confidence in my flesh. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of His suffering. I want to be conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. To be conformed. That's the desire, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Him. And Paul the Apostle, of all the people in the world, I don't think there was ever a greater Christian that's ever lived. I mean, obviously, Jesus doesn't count, He's God. But we're talking Paul the Apostle, man, he would just blow our minds. You'd want to grab his sweatband and, you know, drip on your face. Ah! I mean, this guy was beyond anointed. He was incredible. But listen to what Paul says, gang. Listen to what he says. I have not attained. I have not yet attained. I have not arrived. That word is played upon a couple times in verse 12 and 13 where it says attained or apprehended or grabbed. It's the idea that I have not yet come to that place where I could say, I'm done. My walk is done. I've arrived. I am conformed. I am like Jesus. I have not yet already attained. I am not yet perfected yet. So what do I do? He says, what do? I press on. Again, that runner thing. I press on. Because I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. What did Jesus do when He laid hold of me? The first thing we know is justification. We know what that wonderful doctrine means, just as if I've never done it. The moment we put our faith in Jesus, we are justified. That means the righteousness of God has been put right upon me. I like to always think of it as, you know, those dreary moments where I had to bring the report card home to Mom, and there might be a D. And then my mom, God bless her, she saved every report card from kindergarten. And if you want to enter into depression, just look at your report cards all the way through high school. Oh, and yet Jesus, He took them all and He stamped it with an A+. He stamped it with His righteousness. So I've been justified by faith. I've received His righteousness. So we're not talking about being more righteous than what we already are in Christ. We're saved. We're going to heaven. And even though Paul said in the chapter before, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it doesn't mean you got to work toward being saved. No, because you're saved, now roll out the salvation. Live out the salvation that God has for you. And the balance And remember, God's the one who's going to be working in you that will and the do of His good pleasure. So I've been justified. I have grasped that. But there's one thing that is there's two things that are still taking place. One, it doesn't happen until my last breath or until the rapture, and that's glorification. Glorification means the moment I see Jesus, boom, I am like Him. As at the end of the chapter it says, we're going to be transformed, our lowly bodies are going to be conformed to His glorious body according to the working that's taking place that is right now subduing all things. One day we are going to be not just by faith righteous, but we are going to be completely inside and out. When we see Jesus, perfect heart, everything is perfect, that's it. You know, my mother just went to be with the Lord a month and a half ago. And it's getting more exciting, the thought of it. Her running around with her favorite Pastor Chuck and hearing him everywhere he goes, oh, the joy, right? Always the joy and glory. And then all the believers and the saints in His presence, fullness of joy at His right hand, pleasures evermore. What are the pleasures evermore? It's all of God's people that are just in line waiting to get their turn after you spent a couple thousand years with Jesus. I mean, just, it's awesome, that day of glorification. But listen, between now and heaven, God has a work to do in our lives. He's not finished with us. He's not finished. I hate those words, but they're true. I'm a work in progress. Sometimes it's used as an excuse, right? Somebody completely blows it. Well, brother, I'm just a work in progress. But it is true. We are His poema. We are God's workmanship. He is working, and that part is called sanctification, where God is working in our lives, making us more like Jesus, even though we know that we are saved. We know that God is working all things together for the good. In one gigantic funnel, everything in our life that God is allowing is funneling down to them who love Him, who are called according to His purpose, so that we would be conformed into the image of His Son. Everything is working to bring us into conformity, to make us like Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, we've borne the image of the earthly. And to tell you the truth, I think we're all pretty ugly. We've borne the image of the earthly, but one day we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, yes. We're going to be like Jesus. Right now, we're beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But then we're going to be changed as we behold Him, and we're going from glory to glory to glory, and then it stops. Because now we're Christ-like, even by the Spirit of the Lord. It stops at the rapture, or it stops when I have my last breath. Right now, Ephesians 4:22, I'm putting off the old life. Putting off every day, and it's a clothing wording that you keep taking off the clothes. My dad, God bless him, he was a Marine. He was a DI guy at Pendleton. They told him you could either retire after you got shot in Korea or you could be a DI. He goes, I love it. I love the idea of kicking kids in the rear. So he became a DI, and I woke up every Saturday morning, you know, up and at him, that whole thing. But it's the whole idea that, you know, put it off. And he had this Marine jacket that he kept for 40 years, and it had holes, it stunk. My mom threw it away, and every time she threw it away, he'd take it right out of the garbage. And you know what? We got clothes like that, don't we? We're either our wives or our kids, or someone says, throw that thing away. But, oh, I love it. It's so comfortable. But the Bible says, put off that old man, that former conduct, the old life, which grows corrupt and deceitful, lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on, by faith, we put on the new man created according to God in true holiness. Oh, the new man, because we don't want to forget what the end game is of sanctification. It's Christ's likeness. And man, we can get discouraged. But then we have Paul in the very book himself. He says in chapter 1, verse 6, it's a memory verse, isn't it? That we are confident of this very thing, that He who's began that good work in you, okay, I want to make Him like my Son. I want to make Him like my Son. He who began that good work in you, He's going to finish it one day. Hallelujah for that day when it's finished. But until it's finished, I've got to press on. I've got to, as Paul says, I got to keep pushing forward. I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me like Christ. And then verse 13 is one of our top 50 verses as a Christian. I think in the top 5 is if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, right? But this is in the top 50, no doubt. Paul gives us one of the secrets of being a believer that keeps walking with the Lord. Brethren, verse 13, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He said it again. I haven't yet attained. I haven't yet apprehended. So don't let anybody fool you when they come off with an aura that they don't sin anymore, right? When they come off with that aura. There was a time where I thought that was me. The first 2 weeks I was saved, I thought, that's it. I've arrived. I've read the Bible. I'm better than everybody. I'll never sin again. And then within 2 weeks, I realized I had the sin of pride. Then I went to the Bible college. And I was up in the Bible college up there in Twin Peaks. And I thought, I've read the Bible. I've gone to Bible college. I formed a little group called the Holiness Club. And we thought, we arrived. We were perfect. It lasted about 2 weeks. And then we realized how dreadfully sin. Matter of fact, I wrote Pastor Chuck a letter and said, whenever you want me to take over, I've arrived, you know? And I could just imagine him reading the letter, laughing, no doubt. God bless him. Oh, Jesus. Paul says, I haven't arrived, I haven't attained. And he says, I don't count myself. That word count, logizomai, which is the word for that people use when they're looking at their checkbook, they're looking at their accounts, they're looking at what they have and what they don't have. You know, my precious nephew, he went out and tried to cash a check not having the money in the account, right? And it bounced big time with penalties and everything. Well, when we account what we are, when we're honest with ourselves, when we could say in Psalm 139, oh God, search me, try me, know my anxious, wicked thoughts that I think I've got it together, and show me where I'm at. Show me in my heart where I'm at. And man, God is so good. He's so good to show us where we're really at the moment. Sometimes we just need a good, healthy dose of Isaiah 6, don't we? Oh, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Ooh, I can't believe I'm seeing the Lord. His glory, His train filled the temple. Oh, yes, I'm so amazing. And the angels are crying out, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Woe is me. I'm a man who's undone and of unclean lips. I'm like Peter after Jesus blessed him with that boatload of fish. Oh, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. When God gives us just a little taste of the reality of who He is, oh, man, we realize we got so much more to go. And we could fall in condemnation at that point and just say, I give up. Or we could say, Lord, I don't count myself to have apprehended. But we do what Paul says, not what Jack Palance said on that crazy little movie City Slickers. We do what Paul says. There's just one thing, brethren. One thing. This is what you got to do. Forget the things which are behind and reach forward to the things that are ahead. Forget what's behind and reach forward to the things that are ahead. One thing, I'm not going to be perfect in this flesh. I'm not going to be perfect while I'm in this human body, because flesh and blood are not entering the kingdom of God, okay? I'm not entering in with this body. It's got to die before I get to heaven. It's got to die before I enter into His kingdom. It's got to be completely removed before I'm raptured up. Man, our bodies are just going to kerplunk down and we're going to come up in a new body. But I've got to forget the things which are behind, good and bad. Good and bad. Let's start with the good first. I can't just be living in the past. You know, thinking about, you know, my little trophies of my past. I remember when I was a young believer and we're up there in the Bible college and we're so full of faith. And this brother said, I don't have any gas, so let's put water in the tank. And you know what? There's four people that were with me. The car ran. And it's like, wow, the faith that I had back then. Or when we were going to go pray for a gal in Mexico, we were in Mexico City, and they were going to cut her leg off the next day. She had gangrene, and I'm with about five guys. I'm just a young believer. And I go, God's going to heal her. And they're all like, oh, brother, you're going to freak out the family. Don't do that. But God gave that gift of faith for that one moment. There was no doubt. It wasn't word of knowledge or word of, you know, claiming and naming. No, it was just an unbelievable faith. God's going to heal her. And the next day, the doctor says, we don't understand. All the colors back, the blood's flowing. And I'm like, yeah. So I got my trophies of what I did in the past. And I could just live in that past. Oh, the movement of Calvary Chapel when I'd go into the sanctuary and there was nobody over 20. It was just packed with young believers. And we could just thank God for the fruit that we had and live in that glory of the past. Now listen, reminiscing is fun. There's no doubt about it. The older we get, there's more to reminisce, right? But it's only good if it propels you today to move forward and to continue, because the same Jesus back then is, the Bible says, he's the same today. Yeah, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord is the same God that wants to do those incredible things when you were a baby believer. So we can't live in that past. And so many of us as believers, we often just sort of, yeah, I remember I did this, I did that. I remember when I led that person, Lord. Yeah, it was really great as we're, you know, got our little straw coming out of our mouth, sitting against a tree, enjoying the past. Hey, listen, his mercies are new every morning. The work of God is fresh every day. If we got old wineskins, God, I need a new wineskin because I want new wine. I don't want to be sitting in the past and just saying, yeah, that's the way it was. God wants us to bear much fruit, and he wants to have continual fruit, and the Bible says he's glorified by producing a lot of fruit. Let's keep going. Thank God for the past victories, but let's not live in the past. But secondly, let's forget the defeats as well. You know, he says here, I forget those things which are behind. That includes all my defeats, all my failures. I was with a group of people talking last night, and I'm looking at the women. Those of you who had abortions, a lot of hands were raised up. Divorces, unsuccessful business deals. And everybody pretty much could say, I missed the boat. I could have bought that house when it was $50,000. And now the house is $800,000. And you're like, I'm such a loser. I could have done this. I could have done that. The struggles, the backslidings, all the stupid things I've done as a believer. The ones that the devil reminds me 24/7, as the pastor brought up earlier, the fiery darts of the devil. One is the constant reminder of what you did. Some think that might have been the thorn in Paul's flesh. Other people teach it was his ex-wife, but we think part of that thorn in his flesh was you killed Stephen. You killed Stephen. And just the devil constantly bring that up, and we brought up one of the scriptures. We cast that down in the name of Jesus. But we know that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We know that we're under the blood. And so what do? Forget the things which are behind and keep going. You all remember Zola Budd, that little South African runner in the 84 Olympics, the one who supposedly got tripped by Mary Decker, who was supposed to get the gold. They literally made a movie, and it was called The Fall. I've never seen it. It's not on Netflix. But you remember what happened? They were at the last lap. They were just at the last 100 yards, and they tripped, and they fell. And what did they do? It was the most pathetic sight you'll ever see. You could Google it later on YouTube. They sat there, and they cried. There goes another runner past him. There goes another runner past him. There goes another runner. They're done. And they had to carry them off. Oh, I fell. I fell. Get over it, man. We're going to fall as believers. I don't want to fall. Sin not, because we, you know, we want to walk with the Lord. But listen, part of being a Christian is get up. Get up. Get up, receive the blood of Christ. Get up and keep going. That's real Christianity. that fake stuff where you look at a preacher or you look at a person and, wow, they never sin. They're always smiling. Hey, I remember Pastor Romaine told me, he said, one of the first things he told me when I got on staff way back in the early 80s, he said, keep your nose to yourself and don't look at everybody else. And today's word is a buzzword, stay in your lane. You've heard that, right? Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Because what's going to happen, you're going to look around and you're going to say, you mean Pastor Chuck's got feet of clay too? Oh my gosh, he's a sinner too? And people would stumble and say, I'm not going back to church because he's a sinner too. Or they'd realize, God, they're just like me. There's no different. We're walking with the same God. We have the same relationship with you. And sometimes we fail. We say a thing. We do a thing. We don't get up. Let me ask you really quickly. Whose sin was worse? David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba? That's bad. That breaks a commandment. Or when he set up the guy to get murdered, who was her husband, getting him drunk first, and then setting him up to be killed, a righteous man he was. You think that sin was worse? Or do you think Peter's sin was worse? He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Peter never bailed on God. David never worshipped false idols. He never denied God. He loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. His sin was pretty bad. But Peter, man, he really denied the Lord. He cursed. He swore. I don't know him. But what did those two guys do in their sin? What did they do? Did they just drop the whole boat and leave? David continued with the Lord. Even though it took months for him to come to repentance, he said, how blessed is a man whose sins are been covered. And he just continued with Jesus Christ. God just created me a new spirit. Peter, as bummed as he was, he could have said, scoot over, Judas. I'm hanging with you, buddy. He could have literally went into that mode. But Jesus came to him. He repented. He got up and he kept running. Beloved, that's got to be us. You know, boo-hoo, you've fallen. I get it. We've all fallen. Let's pray. Let's ask God to forgive us. But let's do what Paul says here in verse 14. He says, keep pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing. Again, there's that word, that runner's word. Keep moving. Get up. Translation, get up. Brush off. You know, and keep running with that focus. Keep up with your daily devotions. Oh, well, I've missed a devotion. I'm not going to do it again. Hey, come on, man. Get up. Get back in the Word. Get back into the Scriptures where He warns us and He tells us where how to live and keep going. Continue with praying. Don't surrender. Don't give in. He's not saying here, one thing I do is I just give up and then I just, well, this is who I am. I hate it when Christians tell me this is who I am. And I'm just human after all. To sin is human and to forgive is divine. I don't know what that little saying is. To err is human and, oh, whatever. You know, or you know, those Christians that get up in an alcoholic's meeting, I'm an ex-alcoholic. No, you're not. You're a new creation in Christ. That old life is dead. We're moving forward. We don't identify with the old man. We identify only with Jesus. And as we stay in our lane, Paul says, don't compare yourselves one to another. It's not wise. I remember when I first got on staff and I was talking to Brian Broderson, who at that time was an assistant, and we were talking about different guys. And I remember that scripture just came up. What are we doing looking at other people? Who are we to compare ourselves one to another? There's only one person we're to compare ourselves to, and that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. As much as I think Dan is an incredible saint, he's got a halo around him, don't look at Dan, okay? Don't look at him. We're looking to Jesus. We're looking to Jesus. Let's continue pressing into our worship. Oh man, it drives me crazy when we're in a worship time and you got this going on. And again, I shouldn't be looking at them, right? I shouldn't be looking. Or we're looking at our phones. God, let's worship as if it was just you alone. Let's daily be open to tell others. I love the simple way that Rel Reed says. Just walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know, somebody loves you. What an easy thing to say. Somebody loves you? Oh, really? Who's that? And boom, there's the door right there. Who doesn't want to hear that? So we learn from the mistakes. We go back and say, okay, Lord, Where did I miss the boat? I know you've promised with every temptation, with every sin that's in front of me, you've promised me a way of escape. Where did I miss that door? And God, work in my heart, as he would say in chapter 2, work in my heart the will and the do of your good pleasure. Paul would actually even say in verse 17, brethren, join in my example. Do what I'm telling you and note those who walk in such a way. Note the pattern that they have. And remember what the end game is, beloved, as those last two verses there, Philippians 4 says, remember, our citizenship is in heaven. Yeah, we pray for our president. We thank God for our country. It'd be great if we have a revival and it goes back to the way it was. But remember, the church started in the Roman Empire with Nero, man. Nero, who was their king, who was their wicked ruler. And yet the church thrived in the darkness. The darker it gets, the brighter we get. We are like lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So if our government gets awesome and we get reelected with a good man, great. If the devil gets reelected, hey, the church is still going forward, man. We're going to continue in the name of Jesus to be a light for him. Our citizenship, verse 20, is the word is politikeo, or the word we get our politics. It's in heaven, from which we're eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's our hope. We got a foot here on earth. We got to live on earth. We got to pray for our leaders. We got to pray for our country. But just remember, your foot's in heaven. We're going to heaven. And we're eagerly waiting, not passively. Again, here's the idea. Not just, the Lord's coming. I've heard that before. He's at the door in 84. He's coming for you in 82. Yeah, I remember Greg Laurie. Oh, the rapture's are coming. Yeah. Well, you know what? You're falling into Peter's little thing where he says a lot of people say, we've heard that before, but hey, more than ever, as I hear pastors popping up with Ezekiel 38, we could be seeing it, it's coming soon. It's like, Ezekiel 38, I remember that, you know, and the Lord might be coming soon. I know one thing for sure, you're either going to die or the rapture is going to happen, and both are coming really soon, because our death is just like that. Our life is a vapor. It's just a matter of minutes before we're going to heaven one way or the other. We're going to look back at how small this life was compared to the life that we have ahead of us. So brothers, with passion, with pursuit, let's keep following hard. Let's love and desire his appearing. Or I like what Titus 2:13 says, and it's a litmus test for my heart right now. Am I looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? But brother, I want to see my grandkids first. Oh, are you kidding me? I want to get married first. Really? I've had people say that. I want to go to heaven, but first, can I get my loans paid off? Come on, you guys. We want to live for Jesus like Paul the Apostle said, who's stuck in jail, by the way, in a house arrest, who's not doing what he'd love to do best, out there starting churches, and yet he's saying, brethren, let's keep running the race. Get up, wash, rinse, and repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Keep going forward. So in the name of Jesus, we want to keep doing that, guys. We want to keep doing it. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here with you. We're going to have communion now where we're just going to remember that the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us of all of our sins and just freshly reminds us we are new, we are clean, we are ready to start the day brand new in Christ. Forget what's behind in the name of Jesus, and let's keep pressing on to what's ahead. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
This little piece of bread in our hands that represents the body of Jesus Christ. We remember Paul's only real warning for us as a believer. He says, let every man examine himself before he eats of that bread and drinks the cup. That place where we say, God, I recognize that sin. I know where I've been falling short. And I don't want to stay in that place. I don't care if I've fallen a million times. I know in the name of Jesus that by your stripes I could be healed emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I want to overcome in the name of Jesus. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, even if there's one person that maybe hasn't yet made that full decision, maybe you've been like Judas. You've been able to fool us all. You know, Judas fooled people for 3.5 years. Only Jesus knew, and only you know. Then right now is a good time as you would take that bread and just say, Jesus, come into my heart and make me a new creation. So thank you, Lord, that because of your body broken for us, we have healing both now in this lifetime and in the life to come. Healing mentally, emotionally, and you even provide physical healing. And God, we are open to that. Whatever it is that's in our bodies today, Jesus, you are God. And we ask you to touch us and to heal us. So let's receive this body that's been broken for us. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread. It's funny, as a Christian, I don't know why the blood always seems to be more important to me. Probably because of that scripture that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to wash us and to cleanse us from all of our sins. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes us. And that word cleanse there in 1 John 1:9, it means to loose, to loosen, to untie the knot in the name of Jesus. Lord, wherever we're knotted, where we once were loosed and now we've knotted ourselves again in some type of thinking process or some type of sinful activity, in the name of Jesus, loose us and free us. And thank you, Lord, that your blood does wash us and cleanse us and makes us like a virgin white bride before you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes us and cleanses us. So right now, let's receive that cup and afresh receive that cleansing by Jesus Christ. Let's receive together. Thank you, Jesus. We have a few seconds to if you want to just say a word or two of thanks to Jesus, go ahead and just declare it loud and proud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
My brother's here for his father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as that song says, give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one desire of the heart to follow hard after you. So, Lord, thank you for my brothers. Thank you for this special little treat that we've had to be together, to eat some wonderful food, and then just the fellowship, and just the, what a delight, Lord. Today's the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Let everything that has breath praise you, Lord. And God, may we now, as we enter back into reality, into our worlds, help us to be filled with your love, with your peace and your joy. Thank you, Lord, that you got us covered, even when we fall and we scrape our knees big time. Lord, thank you that you're there to pick us up and to help us to keep running the race with you. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That was a full meal, guys, right?
Man.
That was more than we can keep down. What a great word. Thank you, Mark. And that was a blessing. Wow. Yeah, and that'll be on our website. Hopefully, it takes about a week to put it up there. You'll be able to listen to it again. And I always love going back and listening to the word and just, you know, gleaning as much as you can get out of that teaching and stuff. So what a blessing. Always great to gather. Sometimes you just wonder, you know, like we were saying earlier, a small group, and man, the Lord just blows you away. You know, you just couldn't even fathom what God would do here this morning. And I really feel like I've really been ministered to, you know, and I know you guys do too. And just grateful. Thank you, Lord. And what a great opportunity. Guys, I pray you'll join us next month. Bring friends or family. And these cards, you know, if you grab some and, you know, help us get the word out. Take a stack, because otherwise, if we don't hand them out, they just go in the trash because they're not valid after the next breakfast. But let folks know, you know, we'd love to have all join us. And like I always tell everybody, if you don't have the money, just come anyway. The Lord, he supplies all our needs. He seems to pay the price. And so never feel bad if you don't have the funds or whatever. Just let us know, and we surely will welcome you with open arms as the Lord would. And it's always a blessing to gather. I think in January we have Pastor Bill Hoganson. He'll be coming, and we'll have our new breakfast cards. He's supposed to be here any minute, but we'll see. But anyway, looking forward to what the Lord will do. And this family breakfast, we'll see. Be praying for Pastor John, hoping he makes it. And, you know, just depends on how quickly the Lord heals him up and stuff, and he recovers. So looking forward to that. Let's close in one last song and just close out worship and rejoicing in the Lord. What a blessing. And, you know,
when Mark shared about the race where I can't remember their name, but they fell down. I use that a lot in ministry, because not so much that example, but somebody made a film, a little clip, and I wish I would have saved it. It's about all these people that are running the race, and they was like Tour de France. The guy's like, he's like from here to the back door to the finish line, and he puts his arms up like this, and he crashes and eats it. And then the second place guy takes the win. The other guy, he's running, and he just wants to see where that second place, and boom, trips and falls. And I mean, they had about 20 or 30 of these things where it was just like, they were heart-wrenching. You're going, man, that guy, he went in the Olympic title, and he just had that, he took his eyes off the prize. And that's, you know, the message this morning, man, is to, you know, keep after it, you know. Keep our eyes on the Lord. No matter what life deals us, man, we're going home to glory, man. We're going to be with the Lord. And sometimes life is unbearable. It is tough, man. But it's the Lord who gets us through all those things. And like His Word says, what can man do to us? He beats us up. You know, Jesus was persecuted. He kills us, so we go to be with the Lord. And so, praise God, man. Let's worship and just close out. God bless you. I pray that the Lord would just bless you and your families and help you to be that spiritual leader that He's called you to be, guys. And may this word, just as Robert and some of the guys prayed, Lord, may it just be etched upon the walls of our heart and our mind and on the frontlets of our eyes, Lord. And may we just keep our eyes on You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.